Glory.
Jesus. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, outstanding.
Thank you to the Robertson family. God bless you.
Yeah, God bless you all for blessing us. Glory to his name, Jesus. Before I get started, I just want to let you all know that those of you that had ordered the sermon CDs, they are in the back there, and you can pick those up and get those. Jesus, let's open up in prayer. Father, I just thank you for this time that we're coming together, Lord God. Father, prepare our hearts and prepare our minds for the word that you have us for today, Lord. As we receive this, Lord, minister it to us in the ways that we can use it so we can just take it out and bless others with it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, good morning. How are we all today? Good morning. So, this is the beginning of our new series about rebuilding families and relationships. And so, let me just ask you a question. Has anyone ever felt drained by life? Yeah, right. Drained by life. Absolutely. Now, see, we can all come to a place where we feel drained emotionally, spiritually, physically, and mentally. And one of the things that can drain you or stress you out that I found for me sometimes is family. Family can stress you out. Family can drain you. Or there are certain things that are associated with families that can stress you and drain you. Like, for instance, what are some of those things that can stress us out relating to families? Well, if you're a parent and you have children and your children ain't never done anything to stress you out, I want to meet you. If you are married or have been married and your spouse has never done anything to stress you out, I really want to spend some time with you. You can tell me some things. But things that happen in our life, such as law violations, traveling, change in health, change in eating habits, bosses, jobs, new employment, lack of employment, increase or decrease of responsibilities, financial changes, rent, mortgage, in-laws, and I mean all in-laws, father-in-law, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, son-in-law, death of a family member, life cycle changes, intimacy, pregnancy, marriage, separation, divorce, reconciliation of the sorts. All of those things can cause different kinds of stresses in our lives. That's a whole lot of stuff that we got to deal with. Now, see, even when our lives seem out of control, one thing I can tell you is God is working out his plan in your life. See, after pouring out all of yourselves in so many ways, we all come to a dry place, dry emotionally and sometimes dry spiritually. And I get that. But see, whether it's at work, parenting, marriage, teaching, for some, ministering, money, whatever it is, we can give so much that we find ourselves discouraged, sometimes anxious, depressed, and depressed and anxious by the mundane life cycle. Sometimes those things can drain the very life right out of us. And see, we all need to be refreshed and renewed and regenerated. And I can tell you right now that one of the things that renews, refreshes, and regenerates me is, one, spending time with God. You know, when you get drained and you need that jolt of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you, Monday nights at the house of prayer, I get that jolt. Come in here and it's just the presence of the Lord. There's no church happening. It's just you and God. It's just that's all it is, and that's all it's going to be. And if you need that, that's what you come and you do, and that's what you get. It's just you and God. You get that energized. You get that recharging of the batteries, and we all need that. Sometimes I look at us, we're like a glass, and those glasses are designed to pour things out, but they're also created to put things in. And so as we're pouring out, we need to put in, and so that's what those things are for. Now, see, we all, you and me, are worthy of making sure we get refilled. And see, in our families, depend on you being refilled by God so you can do the best for him, through you. So that's why we have to get refilled and regenerated. See, so ask God to give you his fountain of living water that will quench your every thirst. Fill you up with that so it flows out of you. See, now you were created to be, you were created not to be empty. You were created to be filled. In fact, it says in John 7:38, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And that's what I want. I want those the rivers of that living water to be in me so it flows through me. So I can be that walking testimony to everyone around. You know, because I ain't used to be that walking testimony. But now I want to be that walking testimony where people can see that living water flowing right through me. So people can say, wow, I remember dude back in the day. I remember when this and I remember that. But look at him now. What's he got? And I can say, it's that living water, y'all. Come and get a drink. Come and get some of this stuff. Let me tell you about it. So with that living water flowing through us, we learn how to defend even our marriage from those external stressors. In this series, I'm going to start off when we talk about families and rebuilding families, of starting off with marriages. And then we're going to break down the family structure and talk about the roles in those families as we go throughout the month. But I'm starting with that. See, the Bible very specifically compares Christ's relationship with the church directly to the relationship between husband and wife. As we examine the characteristics of Jesus, we discover exactly what we must do so our spouse will see Christ in us. See, it's not just about being unselfish. If you really want your spouse and your family to see Jesus in you, you have to genuinely put into practice an attitude of becoming more like Christ. See, when I counsel marriages that are in trouble, I feel the desperation in their demeanor and their communication style. Even I hear stuff about loneliness and there's, whether it be disrespect or infidelity, men and women both have devalued themselves with a self-worth. You know, they admit to breaking down in communications, in all forms of communications, with that devalued of self-worth. Others complain about mediocrity, boredom, lack of satisfaction. The emotional wounds and disappointments have left many of these couples feeling broken without any clear path to restoration. So they talk to whoever will listen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They talk to whomever will listen, looking for a sympathetic ear to justify or agree with their emotions or actions. Dangerous place to be. Fortifying the walls of your family and marriage is not simple. You need God to rebuild those walls and to fortify those walls. Can't do it by yourself. See, this call to rebuild family is about prioritizing God's desires first for your marriage and placing these desires over your own in a pursuit of holiness. It's a call to marital intimacy that is built on selflessness, trust, and respect. It is a call to extend grace as you unconditionally love the spouse to whom God has joined you. It is a call for an investment of time to allow strained emotions to heal. You should be prepared, however, as you go down this path and answer that call, for attacks to rebuild and restore your marriage or your family. See, in a culture that values individualism and self-satisfaction, Your efforts to exemplify godly stewardship, humility, and grace in a marriage will be mocked. And get this, sometimes it's going to be mocked by your own family because they don't understand. Half of those around you, those folks who are trying to, they're giving that ear to, are going to be opting maybe when trouble sets in for getting a divorce. Your unconditional commitment to an abundant marriage will be met with sarcasm and then with some envy. But one of the largest challenges in the couples that I work with is, and it's a challenge for many of our relationships, many of our families, and especially marriages today, is the lack of quality and quantity time. Why? Well, for several reasons. We all have an endless pursuit of things. An endless pursuit of this, endless pursuit of that. And with that endless pursuit of things, we have to acquire stuff. We like our stuff. Y'all like your stuff. Don't you like your stuff? So you don't lie. Come on now. Y'all like your stuff. We like our stuff. So what do? That requires money. Stuff requires money. So therefore, we got to work so we can get the stuff that we want, because we can't have our stuff unless we out pursuing the things that we got to do. So we're pursuing that money so we can get our stuff. See, with busy lives running on parallel tracks, there are three questions that you can ask yourself. How well is my time being managed in my marriage or my relationship? Well, the first question to ask would be, in the past week, how satisfied were you with the emotional and physical intimacy you and your spouse shared? Don't answer that. I don't want to know. Emotional and physical intimacies are intertwined. It increases or decreases in one directly correlates with the changes in the other. Number two, how aware are you of your spouse's current emotional needs? Don't shout out. If you only know your spouse's needs by spending time with him or her, you cannot just assume that you know. And I tell that to couples all the time. You can't assume you know or he or she knows. You must actually spend some time to find out what they know and how they think about things. If you think your spouse has no emotional needs, you're wrong. You might not know the needs because he or she may not trust you with them. And to break that down, you got to spend some time with them to build that trust. Number three, in the past month, how much time have you spent seeking God's direction for your marriage? Don't throw nothing now, because I'm just saying this was God. It wasn't me. This was God, y'all. Your marriage is a spiritual relationship positioned to impact lives for Christ. Let me say that again. Your marriage is a spiritual relationship positioned to impact lives for Christ. Now, see, in this country, Lord help us, we have this culture that's out there right now to traditionally destroy the institution of marriage as we know it. It's causing this naturalization for a moral decline of the traditional family. There's a culture out there that's trying to destroy everything that everybody in this room here brought up to understand, know, love, and accept about family and traditions. In fact, I just heard on the news this last week how far we've gotten down to breaking down traditional families and what's accepted and what was not accepted. There's now this morning after pill that they're saying, because of women's health, allows you to go get it over the counter. And our government is in support of this. And it allows a young girl at the age of 15 to be able to go get this from over the counter. And my wife's like, "You know, girl, at 15, a woman, why are they calling this women's health? That's a child." And it is at 15. And I'm thinking, I started praying over the situation. And then what really blew my mind, I started thinking, it's like, birth control, you still need a prescription for. But this thing, you can go get over the counter soon. Something's wrong with where we're headed, y'all. It's very twisted. See, we are desensitized, and instead, we should be outraged over these things. See, the decline of the traditional family started, from the removal of God from everything. If you look back and can go back, just go back 10, 15, 20 years ago. Go back 40 years ago. God was in everything. God was in everything. We did stuff about God. We had traditional things that were centered around God. God was in our schools. God was everywhere. And the minute we started removing Christ from stuff, our world started flipping and tripping. See, after removal of God from our workplace, the schools, our government, our holidays, we then started doing it from our homes. And then it was easy to start breaking down family traditions. See, if you're not an advocate for traditional families or traditional marriage or fighting for your own marriage, who else is going to do it? The storms of life can't harm you if you have deep roots in God. And those roots have been trying to be chopped away from us to let us know the things that we valued at some point in time in our lives, the things that our parents valued at some point in time, don't seem to matter anymore. The enemy is alive and well out there and twisting our minds, trying the degradation, the destruction of families that has taken place needs to stop. And we need to call on him to get it done and to help us get it done. We can intercede. We can pray. We can speak against those things. And we can rebuild our families and rebuild our country. We can rebuild everything. We can go back to the things that we lost. But it takes us. We need to get outraged. We need to stand up. We need to say stuff. We need to do stuff about it. And we need to pray. See, it's no surprise then that Paul encourages believers to be rooted and built up in Christ, strengthened in the faith, as it says in Colossians 2, 6 through 7. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. And I like the overflowing with thankfulness. See, if you're strengthened in faith, then you won't crack under the pressure, the pressures of life, the pressures of those difficult situations, because you have those deep roots that are just so far dug in. See, it's deeply into that word of God that is like that anchor. At some point, however, all of us in here have experienced it. We know storms of life will come. We all admit it that we've been drained by life and had stuff going on. So when you're in storms, they are going to come. See, but when you proactively build a strong family identity on the rock of Christ, your family can withstand whatever winds and rains come your way. A strong family identity will give your kids a solid foundation to cling to during those difficult times. Isaiah 58:11 says, "The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be a well-liked watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail." If you have the power to choose your belief and actions, when you focus on the positive things instead of the negative things, you'll find the faith. You'll find strength. You'll find confidence. Confidence to take on life's challenges. Get rooted. Get rooted in the Word. So here are five healthy things that you can do to practice for healthier families. Number one, practice gratitude. And when I wrote the practice gratitude, it made me think about that song. Here's a little song I wrote. Might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Y'all know it. Come on. Be happy. That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's it. That's it. So when I was thinking about that, I was like, really, it's so simple. We just kind of just need to be happy. Practice an attitude of gratitude. Be happy about everything. How do we do that? Don't worry. Be happy. A catchphrase that basically we should look for and count our blessings every single day that we are with God and in God. If we do, we will get a huge, noticeable boost of happiness, and it will uplift and energize you. Give Him gratitude. Be thankful to Him. Be happy. See, it also is physiologically impossible to be stressed and thankful at the same time. So choose to be happy. Make a choice to say, whatever is bothering me, it's not going to bother me. I'm still, God loves me, I love God, and that's going to work itself out because He's going to deal with it. So I'm good. I'm happy, God. I'm happy I know You, God. I'm happy You're with me. I'm choosing to be happy. And when I do that, I can't be stressed out. I ain't thinking about being stressed out. See, if you're focusing on an attitude of gratitude, you'll respond to your family each day with a better disposition, and you will have a harder time being negative. Psalms 118:24 says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Rejoice and be glad in this day. Number two, praise others. Not criticize, not complain, not point out the shortcomings. We go there first. We go there first. Forget that stuff. Don't even go there. Don't correct. Don't direct. Don't just forget that stuff. Praise others. See, instead of complaining about what others are doing wrong, start focusing on what they are doing that is right. Praise them and watch them as they create more success as a result in what they're doing. Make sure you give 10 times as much praise compared to the criticism you give. If you practice that, I guarantee you, supernaturally, your relationships and your family's relationships will change. So you can energize and engage your family by encouraging them. So encourage them. You want to get them connected. You want to bring them in. You want them doing stuff. Encourage them. It will energize them. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other just in the fact as you are doing." So the Word says that we need to encourage and build each other up. Don't say we get to criticize and run our mouths about all that stuff that we always run our mouths about. So just stop it. Focus on success. That's number three. Now, what am I talking about? Well, for some people, they have found doing a little success journal each night before they go to bed. What is this? Writing down one great thing about each family member, then pray over these successes with that family member and thanking God for them. That's what I'm talking about. It's not what you've done or what you did. It's what you see in somebody else. And being thankful and thanking the Lord for that and what God is doing in their lives, pray over that. Do that with your children. Do that with your spouse. Start thanking the Lord for the things that are doing, that they're, when God's moving in their lives and making them successful and they're doing stuff, tell God how grateful you are for that. Start making note of those successes. Focus on how God has used you today. Thank him for that. Look forward to creating more success tomorrow because of how he's used you today. Philippians 4:8-9 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is holy, whatever is admirable, whatever anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Whew. I almost could stop right there. But I'm not. Number 4. Let go. Focus on the things that you have the power to change and let go of the things that are beyond your control. Let go of the things that are beyond your control. In other words, we've all heard this phrase, let go and let God. That's where this comes into play. Give it up to God and trust him with the outcome. See, now that's where we get in the way. We give things to God, but we forget to trust him with the outcome. We get in the way of ourselves. You'll be amazed that when you stop trying to control everything, how some things just naturally work themselves out. Even in ministry, it's the same in ministry. People say, oh, we need to do this, and we need to pray for this, and we need to do this, and we need that, and we need to talk to this person about this, and we need to talk to this person about that, and this person shouldn't be doing this, and this person should be doing that. And I'm like, hold up. We don't need to go down that path. It's a path that's not healthy. I don't want to start. Let's just pray about it. And trust God is going to work it out. Because I believe that he will and that he can. And I'm not holding all that other garbage and thinking that he can't. Because now I'm saying, well, God, I don't trust you. And that ain't the case. Surrendering is really the answer there. See, in Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. And I underline, submit to him and he will make your path straight. See, that's really trust that comes in. Trusting is submitting. Yeah. Let go, let God. Not you, not your might, not your ways, not your knowledge, not your expertise, not your education that you have, not the training that you understand, not your background, not your pride, not your understanding. It's not about you. See, when things don't go your way and when your family is acting up and acting a mess, which we all have, because families are a mess, ain't they? So when your family's out there acting up and acting a mess, don't complain about it. Pray about it. You don't want to complain about it. You just pray about it, and it'll work itself out. Number 5. Pray. See, God wants to hear from you. He wants to have a personal relationship with you on a daily basis. Take your worries to him. He will help you. Whatever you think you need to do and it's not getting done and you need him to help you with, pray about it. Take it to him. Let him hear from you. Tell him what's on your mind. Tell him what you need to have done. Lord, I need you to take care of this for me. Can't do this one. Need you to take this over. I don't want to worry and stress over it, so I'm going to trust that when you take this over, it's going to work itself out.
See, daily prayer reduces stress. It boosts positive energy. It promotes health. It promotes vitality and longevity. Pray daily. And see if those things in your energy and your health don't start changing. See, when you are faced with the urge to complain about family, spouse, children, or you're feeling stressed out or stressed to the max, just stop, be still, plug into the ultimate power of God to recharge you, and let Him do that recharging for you. And Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. There's our answer. I also saw that in Philippians 2:14, it said, do all things without complaining and disputing. So then I looked at, there's multiple different I looked at multiple different Bibles and translations, and in the NIV it says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. In the King James it says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. So, in other words, we just need to stop complaining and stop arguing and just stop tripping. Because it's really what we're doing. It's really all it is. And we're just running our mouths to be running our mouths. And what we need to do is take everything to God and pray. Healthy marriages require healthy practices if you want healthy outcomes ending in a healthy family result. So how can we build strong families to get that healthy result? Well, first, we need to understand that your presence matters. Children regard your presence as a sign of care and connectedness. Families who eat meals together, play together, pray together, build traditions together, thrive. See, does your family eat together? See, if so, there's a greater chance that your kids will perform better in school. And they'll be less likely to exhibit negative behaviors. So many times we let our failures in our lives impact our lives or impact our marriages or impact our family. We allow those failures to have some kind of dictation and say over how we are in our families. See, our kids do better when they see us moving on and moving through a healing process, even when we failed and messed up. As we apply biblical principles to our failures, they are the first to catch the application right in our home. They may not buy into it right away. They may not want to, they may be skeptical because they remembered mom, dad blew it. But when they see you working through that failure with success on the other side, it's undeniable to them because they know you use biblical principles and they know it was God that brought you through and did it. They cannot deny that. See, when they see us growing, taking in new directions and healing, they feel safe and secure. See, how can you expect them to heal and feel safe and secure if they don't see you that way? Number two, celebrate everything. Healthier families find ways to celebrate everything. Don't miss a chance to celebrate your family. Celebrate certain rites of passages, the birth of children, sporting events, birthdays. We all do that, you know. Educational successes. Celebrate everything. Find an opportunity to celebrate those family successes. As a family practice, sharing words of encouragement for each person and their individual successes through God. Use the Lord
to show your family members how God has brought them through or given them some type of success in that family. Practice extending grace in your home. See, life is too short, and we spend more time busting each other out on our disappointments and what our spouse didn't do or what our kids didn't do, what they should have done. You know better. You know this. You done. We know. We just need to stop. Make a party and celebrate anything. Isn't that kind of like the New Orleans way anyway, y'all? we make a party and celebrate out of anything. So do it with your family. It don't even have to be a big reason. You know? Child lose a tooth. Second line. Hey. You know, whatever. You know, let's go. Celebrate everything. Find something to find joy at home and celebrate everything. Stop the clock and offer some recognition as due to family and enjoy the family by just celebrating everything. Number three, huge one, talk about your faith. You want a healthy family? Talk about your faith. Faith topics don't always come naturally for many families, but discussions about God, however, can help build a family identity. And that is what's needed in our country today to rebuild that family identity, is we need to share our faith with our family, talk about it with our families, and be okay with how things go. Because the destruction of the family, as we talked about, is already out there. And if we're not out there trying to rebuild it, we're going to be in trouble, y'all. We need to get out there and share our faith, and especially within our families. See, when we do this, it also helps kids have strong convictions as they get older. And you want them to do that. So even if you did when they were younger and your children get sidetracked, that because they've heard the word and you talked and shared your faith and they watched you go through trials and tribulations and blow it and still use God and biblical principles to bring you back, that they can see you get through your situation and you be healthier, that they can now look at that and apply that when they get out there in the world and get sidetracked and tricked and lied to by the devil, that they have some foundation, some things that they can go to, and they can trust mom and dad to come back into the where they need to be and go right back in the line to what has to take place. Talk about your faith. See, your walk doesn't have to be forced. Your talk. It doesn't have to be forced or lengthy. It can be a very simple talk. It can even be short and spontaneous. See, God will provide an opportunity. I guarantee you that. He will always provide that opportunity. Let the discussion be natural as possible. But just make sure that you understand getting opinionated and preachy with your family members can be just as unhelpful as avoiding the whole topic of faith. So you don't want to start getting preachy and start trying to convict people from all the stuff that they're doing. What do we talk about? We trust in God now. We're going to pray about those situations, and we're going to allow God to do what he's got to do. It's not us to change people. That's his job. Not your job to try to change somebody. See, make your faith real and celebrate the marriage and the family God has given you. One way to create opportunities is to share your faith with your family is to pray with them or do family devotionals. Even if it's for 5 minutes. Some families start off just by praying at mealtime. If that's what you do and that's how you start, amen. Start there. Awesome. Some families still pray with the kids before they go to bed. Still do that. That's awesome. Say your prayers and do whatever you got to do. Bring the family together and do that, you know. But then transition that to a point in time where you can have family meetings and you can bring the group together and spend time talking about stuff and then praying as a family together over those things. You know, you'd be surprised how that can help. Jesus said in Matthew 7:24-25, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Now that's the key. We're trying to build healthier families on that strong foundation. That rock of God, the rock of getting in the Word is putting that brick on that foundation. Praying with your family is adding another brick on that foundation. You know, building up your family members, offering praise and encouragement is putting another brick on that foundation. All those things that we're talking about today is building up that strong foundation so that when those storms that we talked about earlier, those stresses of life come in, no matter what, that rock is solid. My roots are deep. Amen. Invest in the lives of your spouse and of your kids. Think of the time and energy and the emotions that you willingly invest at your work. How much time and energy you put in at doing what you do, the stuff that you do. How much time and energy for those of you who are in ministry that you put in investing in ministry. You put in a lot of time and energy investing in the ministry. So then think about the people who drained you at your job or in ministry, pulling from you from the work that you're doing for them. Now take a deep breath and ask yourself this. What is your deposit slip in your marriage or your relationship? How much of that same energy and investment are you making in that? It shouldn't be more. Worship team.